listening to An Inside Look with North America's Top 50 Site Consultants. How do I land a big deal in my community? What are location consultants really looking for? Join us as we pull back the curtain and look inside the secrets of site selection with your hosts, Tim Tarantine and Amanda Harrison.
We welcome everyone today to An Inside Look, North America's Top 50 Site Consultants. I'm Tim Tarantine, here with my friend and colleague Amanda Harrison, and we're here to celebrate what's great with economic development and site consulting, and we're here to see and hear the stories of one of our great site decision influencers. Amanda, you had a conversation with Frank. Tell us all about it.
Thanks, Tim. Hey, everyone. I spoke with Frank Spano this week. He is the managing director of Austin Consulting. And get this, he's been with that company for 30 years. So talk about loyalty, talk about expertise with his group and his practice. You know, he's worked his way up from a site location consultant to the associate director, director, and now managing director. So he has really done the time, he's put in the work, and he knows the game of site selection. So, you know, he specializes in some different industry sectors like food and beverage, nutraceuticals, and some other manufacturing sectors. He brings great insight to our podcast, to our conversation, and I am very excited for you to hear his insight. So without any extra comment from me, let's hear what Frank has to say.
Hi, Frank. Thank you so much for joining us today on An Inside Look, North America's Top 50 Site Consultants, and congratulations on being named to that list.
Well, Amanda, thank you very much. It certainly is an honor to be on such a prestigious list. And again, I look very forward to talking to you this afternoon.
We do too. We are excited to hear what you have to say. So before we kind of get into the meat of the conversation, I'd love for our audience to get to know a little bit about you. So what are maybe three things that you think everyone should know about you?
Well, I'll do my best on that, Amanda. Well, first of all, I'd like to believe that I'm a very optimistic person. And I think the optimism shows whenever we at Austin start a new project. And I think that really hasn't changed in my 30 plus years of site location consulting experience. I feel it's always fun and exciting to start on a new project, and it's always good to start talking to folks that we have had good relationships with, and it's also good to talk to new ED people at the state and local level. So I would say, with respect to my optimism, that hasn't waned with over 30 years of site location experience. Also, maybe stemming from that too, I think there's a sense of loyalty and respect for individuals that I've worked with within my nearly 30 years in the consulting business. I'd like to believe that's an important attribute, to respect folks that, in essence, help us out on a constant basis. Those are the ED people at the state and local level. And again, I certainly, and I speak for the Austin Consulting Group in general, that we really appreciate all the help that they have given to us. And I hope that continues with new projects that we bring to the communities. And then the third one, this is really, I think, the most important one. Personally, I don't like talking about myself. So really what I'd like to do is go on to the next question.
Well, we can do that. That's a great transition point. So you mentioned that you have over 30 years of experience in this field of site selection. So how did you first get started and what has kept you in the field for so long?
Well, this is pretty interesting. I know there are other folks out there with my background, but I actually went to graduate school and I studied marketing geography. And this is at Kent State University in Kent, Ohio. And I've always been interested in what I would say the site location coursework in general. But it was really nice to go to school and learn about retail site location, industrial, commercial site location, take coursework on that. I'm definitely dating myself. Back when I was in college and in graduate school, we actually still did cartography, which was actual map creation from hand. And we just started at that point in computerized cartography. And most folks don't even know what cartography is any longer. But again, that was something that really, I was just very blessed to take coursework in that. And then once I completed my degree, actually joined the Austin company and Austin Consulting. as you mentioned on that, Amanda, I have been doing this for about 30 years. And it was very fortunate that I was able to, number one, go into that discipline in college and end up with a job in that area.
Absolutely. So throughout your career, you've obviously had lots of successes, and you've probably experienced the other side of that equation as well. So how do you define success, both for yourself personally as a leader, but then also in the work that you do with Austin Consulting?
Well, I would have to say is, you know, basically how I define success is, number one, you have to do the absolute best. Number one, to convey your message to the audience. This can be a consultant or an economic development representative conveying their message to a client regarding, number one, our consulting services, or an economic development group talking to a consultant or a client about their community. You know, in essence, we are selling to another party. And in order to, I believe, be successful, you have to be honest in your approach. You have to do your research. We have to do research in understanding our clients. We certainly target certain types of industrial sectors that we hope to do additional work in, as economic development people do also. You know, they are looking at maybe certain areas that they would like to target in the manufacturing and the distribution network, high tech manufacturing, et cetera. We as consultants do the same thing. And I think because of that, you have to be honest in your approach. You can't be an expert in everything, nor can the Austin company be an expert in everything in their consulting division. So I think the message, by being honest in your approach, doing your research, getting your message out, I think it will come clear and come across to either a company, a consultant, or an economic development people. I think communities that carefully review where their niches might be, I think they will then give the best output and be able to really put their best foot forward on the types of companies that they want to attract into their community.
Absolutely. That's great advice. Being honest and doing good research and finding your niche market are all things that I think those listening today can take away as practical tools to implement right away. What is something else, maybe an inside secret? You've been doing this for 30 years, so you've got to have a few secrets that you lean on when you are assessing communities for a project on behalf of a client. Can you maybe share one of those with us today?
Let's see, inside secrets. That's a very interesting comment. I guess my inside secret, the first thing that I can think of is, and I've done this for a few years, when I've done site location projects, you know, when I've done them on my own, now when I take our staff out to assist them on site location projects and get them up to speed, I kind of look at the community, I look at the site, and I visualize, number one, if the proposed operation that I'm representing could really locate on that specific site. You know, we do quite a bit of work in the distribution center. We do work in the food processing manufacturing, high-tech metalworking manufacturing, et cetera. So what I'd like to do is when I get it to that community, I get to that site, visualize, will that building, will it make sense to put that building on that site? If we're looking at an existing building, would it make sense for our needs to go inside that building? How compatible is that building for our needs? Also do the same thing for the community. As we drive around, as we look at the community, as we look at amenities, things like that, I then visualize, could I be happy in this community? Could I live here? Could my clients and their families and folks that are transferring into the community, can they also live in this community from an amenity standpoint? So that's kind of the secret that I always look at. The thought is, not only the client, but me as an individual. Does it work for our clients? And also, would it work for me? And typically, I'd like to say, if those things are satisfied, I think we have a good, well-rounded community for our type of industrial projects.
Yeah, that's great insight. And just being able to kind of wear those different hats and look at the community or the project from several different points of view, I think that takes a lot of insight to be able to sort of step out of yourself and wear those different hats and see those different perspectives. But I think that is great advice. What would you say are some of those key issues that are maybe forefront in the projects you've been working on recently? I know we hear a lot about workforce. We're hearing a lot about talent, a lot about buildings, having ready sites. So what are some of those issues for you? Are you finding the same thing?
I would have to say, you know, I hate to be redundant, Amanda, but we have to listen to our clients, you know, number one. And workforce, skilled labor, I would say, is by far the most important aspect when we are talking with a manufacturing operation. And this could be a food processing operation. This could be, as I mentioned before, metalworking, even a distribution center. You have to have a certain skill component. In the type of work we do, and this is my best guess, honestly, I'd say about 20 to 25% of our existing workforce, or of the potential workforce, really is of a skilled nature. Mm-hmm. And when I say skilled nature, we're looking at CNC machinists. We are looking at people with, you know, a good background in metalworking. We could be looking at certified welders, you know, et cetera. So we expect those folks are just not waiting to be employed. But we have to look at the community. What kind of a history do they have in securing these kind of workers? What kind of companies are currently located in the community, and what are their needs? And then in addition to that, from training, what kind of training operations exist in the community? So, you know, that's probably a pretty conventional comment that you've heard, you know, from other folks. But I would also say what's very important right now is, I may even say, the quirkiness of communities in general. You know, we're going through what I would call an evolution, a new generation of people, clients that are looking for sites. And, you know, they're looking for energy in the community. Obviously, they want a good workforce, and they want certainly low costs. They want good utility service. But also, they're looking at, quote, interesting communities. And what I mean by that is many of our clients will transfer people to come, let's say, going from west to east or east to west, et cetera. So they're looking for energy in the communities. They're looking to see what makes this community tick. How green is a community? What kind of amenities does the community have? You know, as you probably know, you know, young generation can be pretty finicky as to where they wish to relocate to. So, you know, one of the other things that we have to look at, and we have to measure very carefully, is, quote, that interesting factor of a community. What type of amenities do they have? And how accommodating are they to bringing people from the outside in? You know, let's say that could be from across the country or, you know, across the ocean, too, because we do a decent amount of work internationally. And we are bringing people from abroad into the States. So I would say the amenities are an extremely important consideration that we have to look at. You know, certainly it's a soft cost. But again, it's very important to many companies.
Absolutely. Yeah, that was a great answer, Frank. I mean, we talked about something that we've heard over and over again, which is workforce and labor and talent. And then something that I don't think anyone has said yet, and that's the quirkiness of a community or the energy. And it's really a bit more of an intangible, but just as important. So great answer. All right, this is the last question. So we're going to wrap up the interview with this. If you could tell a room full of economic developers who are hopefully listening today just one thing, what would that be?
Do not overpromise. And I hope that makes some sense. I'll elaborate a little on that. In my years of doing this work, you know, sometimes we as consultants can come across a little too strong. And I hope I'm not in that group, but I know I have been in the past. I think what could happen is that economic development officials, obviously they want to win a project, and that's why they're there. And the competition is, as I understand, extremely intense. But I would say that a community really has to be honest in what they have and what they can do for a company. And again, what they can't do. And I think that you, as an ED representative, as an ED professional, you have to be careful about what you can commit with respect to what I might call incentives and assistance programs to win a project. I think you have to present your community in an honest and straightforward manner. This approach may not win every project, but I think at least, you know, with me, you're going to gain a lot of respect. And eventually you are going to win a project or projects. So I would say if I was in a room of economic developers, the one thing that I would tell them, be honest, state the facts, show them a good community, and of course be prepared. But be careful about what I would say over-promising what you and your community can do for the company.
Great insights, Frank. Thank you so much for your time and for joining us today on the podcast. And most importantly, we just want to congratulate you once again on being named one of North America's top 50 site consultants.
Well, Amanda, thank you very much. Thank you for your time. And I certainly appreciated talking with you this afternoon.
Thank you for tuning in to North America's Top 50, produced by Consultant Connect, where we're working to bridge the gap between leading economic developers and location consultants. To learn more about what we do and how to get involved, please visit consultantconnect.com or tweet me at Ron Kitchens.